You're listening to The Royalty of Rock, a celebration of the rock empire. I'm your host, Mike Harrison, and we turn this hour to another of the longest-running British bands among the royalty, The Who.
Since the dawning of rock and roll, the music has inspired enormous controversy, even within its own most loyal ranks. The argument traditionally has raged over substance versus impact, with one artistic merits of the form and the other side insisting it's all just so much rubbish, good only for escapism and having a bit of fun. No group has symbolized this fundamental schism over the value of rock music better than The Who. Pick up any four books on rock and roll, and two will rave about the genius of the band, while the other two will rip apart the music, making fun of the postures of the band's four members. Rock critic Robert Christgau.
The Who were the brainiest rock band of all time. No one, I don't think, ever understood rock and roll in a theoretical way, among the artists, that is, better than Peter Townsend. Once again, his seriousness and devotion to craft are undeniable. But I think that since 1975 or so, he's really been forcing it. And he's talented enough so that the records he comes out with are not bad. But for me, they just don't have any of the compelling originality of something as early as Anyhow, Anywhere, Anyway, which is actually I first heard as a British import, and which I think remains my favorite Who song of all time. I can go anyway, won't you?
Who are The Who, and where do they rightfully belong? Perhaps just like the music, they are whatever you wish them to be. Initially, they were a group of enthusiastic young Englishmen, out for a good time, riding the sizzling trail ignited by the meteoric Beatles. As time went by, however, it became clear that The Who were a major part of what came to be known as the British Invasion, and as a result, cast a major influence upon all of rock and roll for all time to come. Journalist Patrick Goldstein.
The Who are the other great 60s British band that stand right up there with the Kinks and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. They probably were the baddest boys of them all. They were famous. You couldn't go to a Who concert without knowing that there was some fireworks in store. Whether they'd fall to arguing amongst themselves or destroy their equipment or whatever. And they captured that spirit of rock and roll perfectly. There was no end to the hijinks that might go on. Plus, Peter Townsend is one of the great rock and roll heroes of our time. He's taken on some of the most ambitious projects, like Tommy, like Quadrophenia, and it would be hard to look at anyone else and say that anyone has a better idea of what the rock and roll mind and what rebellious adolescence is all about from Peter Townsend. I feel inside, can't explain, a certain kind, can't explain, I feel hot and cold, can't explain, lay down my soul, yeah, can't explain, I said, can't explain, I'm feeling good now, yeah, but can't explain, busy in the head now, I'm feeling blue, things you say, well maybe they're true, I'm getting funny dreams again.
In 1966, The Who released the landmark single My Generation, and with that they began to develop a definable point of view and a distinctive manner of conveying it. They've come a long way since then. Or have they? Robert Christgau.
I don't think they've come a long way since My Generation. I think they've managed to equal it. My Generation is really great. And what's remarkable is that parts of Tommy and parts of Quadrophenia and most of Who's Next, despite their incredible weight of self-consciousness they bear, have the same kind of spark. But better than My Generation? I don't think it's possible for rock and roll to be much better than My Generation. I really don't. My Generation is a lyric statement of a real situation that contradicts itself, has real ironic power, and at the same time is really an anthem that gets people up and going. People try to put us to death. Talking about my
generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
This is the Royalty of Rock, our special celebration of excellence in the field of rock and roll. We're paying tribute to the legends of rock, the kings and queens who make the music. Continuing now with our profile of The Who. Co-host Mike Harrison.
Interestingly, according to Who member John Entwistle, the rock opera Tommy started out years before, in the early 60s, as filler for The Who's second album.
We'd got all the songs recorded, and we were still about sort of 7 minutes short of an album. That was in the days of like 2.5 minute songs. It had to be 2.5 minutes long, otherwise it wasn't, you know, wasn't suitable. And Kit Lambert suggested to Pete that he write a series of short songs that all ran into each other. You know, like a mini opera. And Pete thought to himself, you know, a 7 minute song, I can, you know, this is terrible. And we got it together and we finally got it recorded and it went onto the album. You know, it sounded fine. And that's what sparked off the idea of doing a complete concept sort of opera, you know, make a whole album, you know. And Pete worked on it for a couple of years, you know. We got a rough sort of story outline. So we had all that together and we did an album full of songs and it just didn't make sense, you know. Just, you couldn't get a storyline out of it. So we went right back to the beginning on most of the stuff and finally ended up with a double album.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall.
Billboard magazine music research director Paul Grine.
Well, The Who's main influence in pop has probably been in bringing a concept album to the top of the charts, which they did with Tommy in 1969. Even more than the Beatles and the Stones had done up to that point, they were able to show that an album could have a unified theme and a concept. And there have been some since, but there were really none before Tommy that met with anywhere near that level of success. Besides going top five, it reached an audience and crossed a lot of boundaries that no albums had prior to that point. And its subsequent success in revivals by the London Symphony Orchestra and then by the movie cast in 1975, Elton John and so forth, show that its appeal wasn't limited to that one place and time, but that it's more of an enduring constant. And it wasn't even just, you know, the first concept album to achieve a great level of popularity. It was really a rock opera, a distinct art form that preceded Jesus Christ Superstar, for example, by a year or two and really set a standard that few albums in rock have been able to meet.
The Who, featuring the distinctive vocal style of Roger Daltrey. Patrick Goldstein.
There are certain British singers that just have defined what mainstream rock and roll sounds like. Paul Rodgers, Robert Plant, and Roger Daltrey. And while Daltrey is not the writer of the songs, he's a wonderful interpreter because he has a lot of range, he has a lot of authority, and there's a lot of excitement. And you just feel that Daltrey acts out the songs. He brings them to life.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here.
My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the cork.
More words and music from The Who in a moment when the Royalty of Rock continues. I'm Billy Juggs, inviting you to join us as we continue our tribute to the Royalty of Rock, the most successful recording acts in the history of rock music. We're focusing this hour on The Who. One of their most successful albums was their Who's Next collection in 1971. The album was recorded at the Olympic Recording Studios in London, except for one notable cut, which turned out to be the most successful track on the album. That was Won't Get Fooled Again, which was recorded at Mick Jagger's home, an old English manor house. Who member? John Entwistle.
Most of the big manor houses, the actual entrance, is like a huge room with stairs going up sort of one side, or stairs going up the middle, with like a gallery upstairs with all the rooms coming off it. A bit like some of the things you see in horror films, yeah. Jagger's hallway was a really sort of high room, you know, with a gallery and stairs, two sets of stairs. And we set up our equipment in there, and we just had the leads going through his front door into the mobile studio. No, it was somewhere where we could like sort of stay the night. I mean, when we finished recording, we all went upstairs to bed, yeah. And you know, when you came out of your bedroom, there was all the equipment set up, and you just wandered downstairs and wiped the sleep out of your eyes and carried on recording. Yeah.
Rock journalist Cameron Crowe.
You can't talk about The Who without mentioning Pete Townsend, ladies and gentlemen. And when you talk about an artist who is also a fan, both of his music and other people's music, Townsend is at the forefront. This is a guy who's out there on the street. When the Sex Pistols were happening and everyone says this is the kind of music that's important, and groups like, you know, the Allman Brothers, the Stones, Rod Stewart and the Faces, these are the dinosaurs of rock, you know, Sex Pistols are what matters. A lot of these groups immediately, the groups that were being attacked, assumed this defensive posture and started putting down the punkers, but Pete Townsend rolled up his sleeves and went down into the clubs with those guys. You know, he got drunk, he passed out in the street after hanging out all night with, you know, with a couple of guys in the Sex Pistols, wrote Rough Boys about the experience.
Tough boys running the streets, come a little closer. Rough toys under the sheets, nobody knows her. Rough boys, don't walk away, I very nearly missed you. Tough boys, come over here, I wanna bite and kiss you.
The track Rough Boys, one of many Peter Townsend solo efforts. Peter Townsend comments on the work of The Who, both collectively and as solo artists.
It's always been positive for the band, because you never know what the other guy's thinking until he says it. And so we can talk to one another, but when we actually make some music, then we know what the other's thinking, you know. As a musician, I mean, Roger's album, I've been good, and some of John Entwistle's albums have been good, and it's been important in a way, to even the thought that they actually wanted to do them, or needed to do them, made you realise that maybe there was a space in what we were doing. As a band.
One of Roger Daltrey's solo endeavors has been a career as a movie actor.
Well, I really do enjoy it. I mean, I'm fanatical about film. I love film. I love film acting. And film acting is a craft, and it is totally different from theatre acting, but I really do love it. And it is so different from singing with the group, because when you're on stage with the group, there's 20,000 kids there, and there's a noise of like the amplifiers. It's just like a big blur of movement and noise. And when you're actually acting in front of the camera, it's exactly the opposite to that. You know, you have to be aware of everything you're doing. And I really like it for that. And the two together, it's like a perfect relationship.
We'll put the finishing touches on our portrait of The Who in just a moment, when the royalty of rock continues. The parade of distinction continues on our special radio event, The Royalty of Rock, a celebration of the rock empire. I'm your host, Billy Juggs, along with co-host Mike Harrison, completing our salute to The Who this hour. One of the tragic ironies of rock and roll is the high incidence of early death among the leading members of an industry devoted to the youth culture. Many of rock's greatest, most influential members have died young. One of them was the original drummer for The Who. Noted critic Robert Christgau reflects on the life and death of Keith Moon.
He was a great drummer, and he killed himself in a very foolish way. I don't admire his death. I admire his drumming. I don't admire his life very much either. He's a pretty destructive guy. He was a lot of fun, you know. I mean, I think that he set that image of the rock and roll crazy, and at least in him it was spontaneous, but then it became something which people followed, which imitated, so that now you have guitarists buzzing monasteries. What the hell did the poor guy buzz before he died? Ozzy Osbourne's guitarist killed himself in an airplane, buzzing somebody. That was a real Keith Moon kind of thing to do. Well, the world is short one guitarist.
Who Are You, the title track of The Who's last album recorded with drummer Keith Moon. Pete Townsend commented on the state of The Who at the time of the release of that album.
I've always listened to a wide variety of sounds, and what's always defined the sound of The Who has been the limitations of the band. And I'll be quite frank that when you go into the studio with The Who today, you don't necessarily feel any limitations anymore. You know, these guys can sing, and they can play, and they can do stuff that blows my mind, and I just write the songs, you know. And it's like being free for the first time makes you perhaps run a bit wild for a while. And this album is The Who running wild, and we haven't yet reached the borderline fence, so I can hear Roger in the background talking about going back into the studio again soon. We need to do it. We need to get back soon so that we can, if you like, good rock always has to be up against a wall in that it's smashing at it. And you make records for 13 years and you get very skillful and clever and so on and so forth. I mean, we want to keep smashing at it. And so I think if anything, we might start to make some extremely crazy albums.
Throughout their long career, The Who have consistently led the way with bold, innovative strokes in the vanguard of contemporary rock and roll. They occupy a place of distinction, regal representatives of the English branch of the royalty of rock.